Hey there, and welcome to episode 3, season 4 of Rainbow Bridge Connection. I'm Kayla, and today we have an amazing guest. You guys know her already, so this episode's going to be awesome because we're going to, really get to know each other a lot more than we did the first time around. So this episode, we have Erica on the show, Erica Messer, right? Did I say it right?
You did. Yep.
Erica
Thank you.
Messer. With Wolfie's Wish. Hi, Erica. How are you?
Hey, good. Good to be back and ready to talk about death again. That's my jam.
Yeah, for sure.
Or other
That's
and other things and other
right.
things.
Right. So tell me, what has changed? We were talking about it earlier, like before I started recording, and it's been a year already. So tell me what's
Yeah.
happened.
Man, I don't know. I'm like a freight train. I just keep coming up with new ideas and directions and really listening to people and what their needs are in regards to pet loss. So, I got two credentials to for bereavement coaching and certification. Which is great because there just was a need for that. I didn't like coordinating. Well, I run a support group now and just coordinating with a counselor to meet on the same time. And like, I just wanted more control, I guess. I think I might be a control freak. But yeah, so I run a virtual support group and got anticipatory grieving cards, just to name a couple of things right out of the gate.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds like you've been busy. You have
Yeah,
been busy.
I think that's my middle name that I was never given.
Right. Seriously. Well, I've been watching you on social media, and it is like bang, 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 bang. Like every week, it's like something's going on, and you've got something new, and you've got something, to offer for people with companion animal grief, which I think is amazing. Like you said, it's the more the merrier is how I feel about it. Like the more we can get people in the industry and really helping people, the better, because everybody, you got to find your person. You got to find your, it's kind of like when you're dating. You got to find your person that you're like clicking with when it comes to grief. And so that's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. So tell me about the support groups. Tell me when they are they, do you pay for them? Tell me all about it.
Oh, yeah, thanks. No, they're totally free. Right now, I'm hosting them once a month until I can ramp it up. We're still growing. I started that in November 2023, so it hasn't been that long. And I have on my resources page, it's like the first thing at the top is to sign up for the virtual support. And when you sign up for that, then you'll just get notified like 12 days ahead of when it's happening, and then a Zoom link and then a reminder. And it's really great. I ask people that come in to just, we're not going to judge anybody's grief journey. We're all at a different stage, whether it's been 10 years or 10 minutes, and just to support each other. And it's really fun to get it started by pulling like a Wolfie's Wish grieving card and talking about that, just to like as an icebreaker. And I actually want to get I'm actually planning out finally my own podcast just about grief in general, with pet loss as well. So I know I'd mentioned that to you before, but it actually just kind of came into fruition yesterday. So lots, yeah, there literally is like a new thing every week. I feel like a maniac on a mission. And I have so much energy around this. I think it can be a little overwhelming for my friends and family, but yeah, it's just what I'm passionate about.
That's awesome. Tell me about, let's see, you mentioned the anticipatory grief cards. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I had a lot of people writing about, how do I, this is coming up, like, because we have this Facebook support group too, which is Wolfie's Wish Pet Loss Support Group. And people were asking questions about like end of life care, and there was just a need for that. So My colleague Saskia Koska, she's in Bonn, Germany, and will be running our German language support group. Sorry for the noise. My cat is going to investigate a new box, so
No, you're
just
fine.
that's what that is about. But anyway, so she and I wrote the anticipatory cards that are, you can download like one page of them to see if it's a good fit. We really wanted to have that out for the holidays, and just help people see and appreciate that the time they have left with their pet and also taking care of themselves. Right. So a lot of times when we're having to say goodbye to a pet, it's because they're either ill or aging and having some issues. And so, we tend to focus a lot on their care and not our own. And there's a whole lot of emotions that come up. A lot of people have guilt, like, I could have done this differently, or I should have done that, the coulda, woulda, shouldas. So it really just addresses those and lets us be kind to ourselves and remember that we're doing the best we can with what we have, and we can't do any more than that.
Right. Yeah. No, completely. And that's well, and then, there's the double side of the coin of that too, is when you actually do lose them. So you like wrapped up your whole life, taking care of them and making sure that they've got their medications and anything that they need. And then when you actually do lose them, there's that part of you that has that identity loss where you're like, well, wait a minute, what do I do? What do I do now after, like, who am I? After being their mom, and my whole being is taking care of them. So,
So I think
no, go
people
ahead.
have a mixed response to that. There's the relief of, oh, not only is my animal not suffering, but I actually can go out with my friends now. I don't have to be here for around the clock care, right? Because there's just this whole mix of emotions, but at the same time, you've got a huge void in your routine, a huge void in your heart, and your life has literally just flipped. So those are the people that I really think are really, the most vulnerable and really need some handholding and support. Because I don't know about you, but my close network of people don't understand, still don't understand, and never will, and that's okay. What it was like for me to suddenly lose Wolfgang the way I did, and the trauma involved, and I can't go to them like I can some the people in our support group, or even other support groups like the Rainbow Bridge Facebook group I love. So those people I really encourage, to kind of get started on their I would call it recovery, grief recovery early, so that you have tools in place, you have support, you know how to take care of yourself and what that looks like.
Yeah, it can be really hard, especially, you can have a support system, but to be honest with you, I don't feel like anybody ever like until this podcast, I had supportive people in my life, but I didn't have anybody that I felt like got me. Like, you know what I mean? Like they supported me, but they didn't understand that like it everything grief is like it takes everything. It changes you. It takes you as a person and it changes you completely. And then you think that you're like me, I feel like, okay, I have healed a lot. I feel much better than I did before. And then a situation that you wouldn't even think would trigger grief will all of a sudden trigger it. And you're like, what is happening? Why am I being triggered by this? Why is grief all of a sudden doing this right now? Type of thing. So I think support groups are fantastic because you can kind of get, I always use them in terms of like, it kind of helped me gauge like where I was. You know what I mean? Like it helped me gauge. Sorry, my dog's barking. It helped me
Hey, that's okay.
gauge. It helped me gauge like, okay, this person is maybe a year out from where I am right now. And I can see that they're doing better than I am right now. So there's hope that in a year from now, I'm not going to put my pressure on myself to be like that, but there's hope that I can. So that's awesome. I think that the support groups are a fantastic thing. I think having different support groups, and like I said, different options is great, and the cards are awesome. Anything else going on? Tell me about, have you done any more shows? Won any more awards? Tell me about all that stuff.
I mean, yeah, I've been trying different shows. I just went to a retail show that went really well, in Atlanta for just general gift. And I don't wanna jinx it, so I'm not gonna say who's interested, but it made me cry, basically. And I do wanna say real quick to back up for a second about the support groups, it's like I totally get what you said about being supported by friends and family, but I think if we're not around people that get us and get what we're going through, we question ourselves more and we wonder more, is this normal? Is this okay? Am I okay? And there's this constant extra anxiety and fear that we're not okay. And so, whether it's Wolfie's Wish Group or not, to find people that get you is really important. And I just want to say to the listeners, maybe you have a healthy pet right now, and that's awesome. And I hope it stays that way for a long time. But just go ahead and bookmark in your browser, wolfieswish.com. Should you know someone that needs support, or should, something change? At least you've got a starting point and you're not in the dark like I was. But back to your question about what else is new. Other than that podcast, I did release, well, I brought with me to the trade show a grief first aid kit, which I think is awesome, but none of the retailers were interested in it. And so I'm still going to try showing that at like different pet shows. And I belong to some international organizations, and one is for pet cemeteries and crematories. I think it'd be really interesting to see what resonates with people, and if that's something that any of the crematories want to carry, because it has a candle that says "Burn when thinking about," and then you write your pet's name. It's got a quartz worry stone, lavender oil, a little miniature deck of cards, a card stand, and a booklet in like the cutest box. So I'm in love with it. I hope other people like it too, but you never know.
Yeah, it can be hard. I think we're growing, grief in general, not even just companion animal grief, like even human grief. I feel like it's growing. It's people are recognizing a lot more and giving more time to it. But also I feel like it's got a long way to go.
Oh, definitely.
So yeah, people
Definitely
might not
agree
be
with
picking it
you.
up now, but I think that if we
Yeah.
grow.
And I'm in this for the long run. I know I'm ahead of the curve, and I know that this will become more accepted and talked about. And that's really why I like doing podcasts and spreading the message about, validating pet loss grief and treating it like the serious topic that it is. But Kayla, last night I was having I was at a birthday party, and I met a girl from Switzerland, and we were sitting next to each other, and I finally just said, she's a, what do you do? And she said, I'm in HR. And I was like, okay, can I ask you a really weird question? And she's like, sure. And I had to think about how to say it, because this was in German. And I was like, do people get paid time off for pet loss? And she her head like shook a little bit. She said, what? And I said, well, I'm just wondering, like, how do people view pet loss in Lucerne, where you live? And she said, oh, well, I mean, it's not really talked about. And I said, yeah, okay. And she said, the law in Switzerland is that people, when they lose a loved one, a family member, they get 3 days off, and then they're expected to go back to work. And it's a law. And I went, oh man, we got a long way to go. Like, wow. The US is doing really good in comparison.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's hard though, because even like we have made way. I am friends with somebody. We're gonna have her on the podcast, and she's actually pushing. She is like a heavy hitter in the business world, and she's actually pushing for like major corporations to offer specifically companion animal bereavement to
Good.
put, out there. And I think that's fantastic. And I was telling her, like, I 100% back it, and anything you need me to do, I'm here for you. But it's like I've always been really grateful and lucky that I've worked for companies that never. Like they always just let me take time off. But then I think about the people that don't, I can't imagine trying to go back to work and think about things and be productive after I've lost, my kid, basically. Like we don't really,
Yeah.
we don't force people to come back if they lose, spouses like right away or children. But I think that it kind of needs to encompass companion animals as well, because I
Absolutely.
mean, there are
Yeah,
kids and
and that's the why I started the conversation with her, because she's in HR and I said, "So what do people do if they can't function and they're not productive?" And she said, "Well, then they can go to a psychiatrist and get, a written note that they need time off." So there are ways around it. And I think that it varies, right, from person to person. But I think about my own experience and how I just felt like my brain was scrambled eggs or something. I couldn't focus. And then you've got all the feelings of grief that to go through and process, and those take their own time. So yeah, I'm really happy to hear that and in full support. I want to see people get paid time off for companion animal bereavement. God, at least a week. But wouldn't three be nice?
That would be really nice. I think the
Oh.
first couple days is really pivotal, but also it'd be nice if they offered it like as like a stretch thing. So like, yeah, you want to take 3 days and then they'll offer you 3 days later. Because to me, it was like, yes, the first 24 hours is really rough. It's one of the roughest times. But then you get like a month in and you're like thinking. You've had a whole month to think about the situation, to really process everything, to try and get through it. And then I feel like my brain was worse a month in, 2 months in, 3 months in versus the first 24 hours. 'Cause you're like in a different, like you're it's a different type of grief where you're like you're grieving that them, and then like as time goes on you're grieving like what your life would have been if they were still around. That issues with like you had said before, the relief of not having them around. You have to like deal with all that. And then that's when my brain was like I didn't even know where I was half the time. I was just floating around because it's like you're trying to process everything. You're trying to process, the whole situation and the actual, like if they got euthanized, you're trying to process that. Or if they didn't, you're trying to process that. And so it's like maybe give you a week, but like you can split it up if you have to, where you just
Yeah,
need like a
that's
mental
great.
health day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. Because people have to go through the mourning process, and I'm really stressing that now that the grief is what we do internally and mourning is what we do externally. Mourning is what people see, and if we don't go through the mourning, then we stay stuck in our grief, and we that's going to come out in different ways. And so it's really important to have that those months after or weeks after to do the mourning. But I also realize in my case too that I needed to be busy, I needed to have a project, I needed to have something to distract me for part of the time, not all the time. I didn't want to put my head in the sand and not think about it, but that's, I pretty much started Wolfie's Wish within a couple of weeks. And I've been going like full steam ever since. I will say, I've had a couple of, I do take vacations, but I think for individuals to find out, do they want to stay at home? Do they need that time off, or do they want to be, like you said, thinking and being productive and kind of a ebb and flow? And that's, That's a hard, I can't answer that for everybody, but I just want to see that anyone, anywhere, at any job can get what they need for pet bereavement or a companion animal bereavement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree. I think we have, like I said, we have a little way, we have a ways to go when it comes to this, but the more people that, are in the industry and talk about it and really try to get it out there, I think the more people are gonna listen. It's like I said, it's hard because grief in general, people don't take seriously. And then you put in the animal portion of it and they're like, what is wrong with you? Why are you freaking out over, your animal? And it's like, well, like if you're not an animal person, that's great. But if you are an animal person, you get it. They're your kids. They're your
Their
companions.
family, their
Yeah.
family. Yeah.
So.
Vanilli is trying to decide if she wants on my lap or not, and she ended up saying no. She didn't say anything. Let me be clear that she's walking away. But yeah, pets are family, and we need to respect that. And one of my mentors, Colleen Ellis, says, it's 70% of the population as a pet. And 30% are telling us how we can grieve it or how we can feel after we lose them. And it's just really time to shift that and see changes and to, not let anyone say ever again, it was just a fill in the blank, right? It was just a cat. Or like we really got to shift the conversation about our beloved animal companions. That bond is so special, and I'm grateful for people like yourself that are willing to talk about it and state the changes that they want to see and invite guests that also want to talk about it. And you've had a lot of success with your show, and thank goodness, right? That people are hearing these conversations, whether they have pets or not. I would think they do if they're listening, but maybe they're just kind of at that explore podcast area and oh, you never know.
I think the majority of the people that listen probably do have companion animals. But overall, I mean, we don't just talk about, the sad stuff. I try to be very like talk about mental health in general because I feel like it's got a ways to go. It's got a ways to go for people to understand mental health and how your brain works, or sometimes it doesn't work, and go from there. But yeah, no, I appreciate that. I started this out to help other people because that's just in my nature. I even if I'm going through stuff, I tend to want to help other people, and then it turned into doing both where it helped me and then it helped other people. 'Cause I wouldn't be mentally where I am now if it wasn't for the podcast. It's helped me grow and change, and the interviews have really helped me. And I'm friends with a lot of the people that I've interviewed personally now. And it's great. I love it. I love doing it. I love getting the word out there. And I love the community. It's great. It's a great thing. I love
Well,
it.
it's interesting. It's interesting that you talked about that because I think of it as also part of what I do is I'm in service. I like to help people. I want them to have better tools than I had. And I find that when we are committed to being of help and in service to other people, you can really move mountains where in ways that I don't think I could do on my own. I don't think I would have gotten as far as I have in just 2 years without that momentum from being in service because people recognize that and they want to support that and they're like, yeah, and they just kind of propel you in a way where if I was just pursuing something from my own selfishness, right? Like if I wanted to invent a new flavor of bubble gum that was like, I don't know, cantaloupe banana just for the heck of it. People, it's a totally different thing when it's self-motivation versus helping others. And I think
That's also one of my Wolfie's Wish cards is to try to get out of yourself for a day and ask, what can I do for someone else just to step away from this situation and try that on to see how it feels. Generally, it feels pretty good to do something for someone else. And I always want people to really shift their state, their energy state, their emotional state. And so a lot those cards are really like little tiny shifts that you can make and overall, recover from this despair and the depression and the loss and the lack and replace those with joyful memories. Because that's what I did. And I want people to know that I consider myself like a recovered from, trauma and grief. And if I can do it, you can do it. Because I also struggle with mental health issues. I'm also 15 years sober. I had a lot to risk. I had a lot to lose if I didn't carefully navigate my grief journey. Was it easy? No. Was it like walking through fire? Yeah. But I'm here.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think it, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like, I agree with you 100%. It's hard. Grief is hard, and it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort. You don't realize how hard it is and how much effort you have to put into it until you're like, I wouldn't say I'm on the other side. I don't know. I never feel like I'm one like 100% on the other side because there's always weird stuff that pops up. But you're right. Like the whole remembering the good things, remembering my brain always goes to the bad. My brain always went to seeing their last moments and replaying them over and over again, or the one time I got mad and yelled, or the one time I, didn't listen to them and they were telling me they didn't feel good, type of thing. All of those is what I would always fill my head with. And I've tried to learn to, like, no, you need to, like, you had this beautiful relationship, this beautiful love, unconditional love on both sides, which is so rare. You need to remember the good. You need to remember the funny and the loving and all of that versus, and it's hard. It's hard. It's like, you have to remind yourself like every day when the bad stuff starts creeping in, like, get out.
But it's interesting because the premise of the cards is to do one card a day, but I keep it really simple because I too relate to that, to have these like negative spirals. And I don't know if that's because of, me and my mental health, or it's just maybe other people are like that too. But if we don't catch those stray negative thoughts, they can really just turn into, like, can I swear? Poop storms, shit storms. Sorry, I forgot. I think you let me swear last time, but I forgot.
No, we don't care.
Okay, yay. And so this whole thing of, just one little shift a day accumulates and gains momentum, and we can let go of like the fear and anxiety and guilt and blame, and those are going to come up. But I like to just kind of acknowledge them and be like, hey, thanks. You're kind of killing my vibe here. What was good? What is good right now? Because I can be in my head, oh my God, I could just oh yeah. My head is a danger zone. I should walk around with like caution tape. And so constantly shifting out of that has really been my goal for the past 2 years. And it's helped a lot.
Well, yeah, like you said, it's one step at a time, like one card at a time, one step at a time, really, working on it. It's taken me, we've been doing this podcast. Well, when I started this podcast, Athena had been gone 11 years, 10 or 11 years. And then it's taken me till about a year ago with the podcast to finally feel like I miss her and I love her, but it's the first time since she passed away that I'm not like gut wrenching, want to throw up, yearning for her. You know what I mean? Like, not like it's the first time that I can think about her and think about the goofy things and think about the funny things and not feel that like deep grief where it's just so painful. And it's wild to finally get to the point where I'm like, okay, like I love her. I miss her just because I'm not sitting here like throwing like, oh my God, like just internally doesn't mean that I don't still love her or miss her and I'm still not in that grief, but I'm better. And like you said, one day at a time, one card at a time. If you take it one day at a time, one card at a time, it'll help and really, work on it. It
Yeah, it's a process. And for me,
is.
I needed one-on-one support, not only because I was worried about my mental health and being stuck in grief, but I'd never really grieved to that much. I mean, I've lost my grandparents, but I saw them like once a year, maybe. It's not to say that I'm not trying to compare the love, don't get me wrong, but to have a thing that I love that I'm with 24/7 suddenly go die was just so foreign to me that I needed to just ask a lot of questions and say, like, is this symptom normal? Or do I need to go to a special place? And that's when they said, no, unfortunately, you're totally normal. I hate to break it to you, but you don't get to go somewhere special and do art all day. And I went, oh man, but nobody talks about this. Nobody, I don't know anybody that's been having these symptoms. Is it because they don't talk about it? Or what's up here? And that really like spawned that curious state of, well, what are we gonna do about this? And anyway, so I think that everyone's grief journey is different. And I'm really glad to hear that you can think about Athena now in a and have positive memories. It takes a long time and everyone's journey is different. But isn't it wonderful that you'll always have her memories and always have the stories and the I encourage people to write these down with like the love letter template or a journal or whatever is going to be meaningful to record all of those quirky things. And also, I go back and I dig through videos, and I just the other day I found one of Wolfgang and his purring, and I went, oh, I gotta keep this one, right? I don't have any of his ego cries, because like one time, I know you're not supposed to do this, but I gave him some turkey deli meat, just like one bite. And he let out what I call an eagle or elephant cry. There was just this horrifying sound of like, it was like crack for him. And he's like, Mother. I don't have that stuff, but I have the stories. And those are always going to be fun for me to remember and relive. And that's what I treasure.
Yeah, and like you said, that's a really good point to do, to write things down, especially when they're fresh in your head, like, early on in the process, because I had done it was so long, it had been 10 years, and I had done that, like stuffing everything back and down, and I didn't want to think about her because it just made me so upset and like bring up all this horrible stuff that now my brain has a really hard time remembering the good stuff, like a really hard time even sometimes remembering her face or the way she smelled, like things like that. That's like you want to remember that forever, but because I was just so like, no, I don't want to remember even the good stuff because the bad seeps in. And I think that writing it down, and I did that with Kaya when Kaya passed away, I wrote down all the goofy things she did and the way she sounded, and like you said, like videos and pictures of her when Athena, when we had Athena, man, that was like early on in the cell phone world where like I had a cell phone, but I didn't use it as much as I did now, so I don't, I think I have like four pictures of her and like no video, so it sucks, but I try now. Like when Kaya passed away, I was like writing down all the goofy things she did and the thing, the way she acted, and I'm doing that with Apollo because Apollo's sick. And so anytime he does anything goofy or anything, I'll write it down and try to,
I love it.
videos and pictures out the butt of just him,
No, that's so great. And you can put up, you can make albums, you can start a private Instagram account and throw all that stuff in there. Don't let your account get hacked. But like I think back of so Sadie was my first dog or my first pet as an adult, right? Living home. And that's when I had a film camera, man. I'm sounding old, but I didn't have, this was right when like the iPhones came out, the very first ones. And people were, walking down the street taking pictures of like, band posters that were coming up just to record it and look at it later, not because they wanted a photo of it, right? It's totally shifted the way we used our phones. So I didn't have a lot. I don't have a lot of photos of her. I have some, and I'm always like, Mom, did you find another one? Because she's got like boxes and boxes of photos. But now look how lucky we are that we have that ability to record it. I mean, and even like I always think, pets have always been in our hearts, and there's that old saying like a dog is a man's best friend. Think about the people that don't have, they didn't have access to photos or any kind of way to record their pet. And look how lucky we are with technology that we can literally, like on my laptop, I was playing these videos of Wolfgang, and it's like he was right there, right? With the sound up, and it just was like, oh, hey, buddy,
Takes you back.
But it makes me feel so comforted for me. Some people that might find that really hard, but maybe there's a day when it won't be hard. But I'm really grateful for the technology that we have, and even the way we can memorialize our pets, right? With the nose print, paw print, put it in jewelry, recording their barks and purrs and funny noises on a USB. There's just so many ways I'm learning about how to keep them with us, and I hear so many beautiful stories of people that like there's a man who goes to work every day and he carries his dog's ashes with him in his pocket every day of work. And he's looking up this beautiful private honoring that nobody needs to know, but they're with him all day. And how comforting is that? And I know people that sleep with their pets' urns. And they tell me this. I know they don't tell other people this, but they know that I get it. And I feel so honored that people will share these really personal and intimate things so that I can then talk about it and give other people ideas and permission to do, taxidermy, whatever is going to make you get on with your life and live a happy life again. To, honor your pet however you need to, and don't ask for permission.
Yeah.
And don't judge
Absolutely.
yourself. Have crazy rituals, have crazy ideas. You don't need to post it on Facebook.
No, I agree with you 100%. And going back to the videos, my brain does this thing where it lies to me. And it'll tell me things like how I wasn't good to her, or I was mean, or I could have done better, and all this stuff. And I'll tell you, I had a video. Kaya passed away, and it was like maybe 2 weeks after she passed away. I was looking through my phone trying to find pictures and stuff of her because I was doing like a memorial thing. And I found this video and it was black. It was just like a black screen. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And I hit play. And apparently, I don't know how this happened. I had started recording in my pocket me giving her a bath. And it was the last bath I ever gave her. It was right before she passed away. And it was so comforting to hear how I talked to her. Like, like it was so like, come here. Like, 'cause I love, she was everything. And so to hear my voice and the tone of voice and how you could just hear the love, and it wasn't forced. It was all genuine because it was, a accident that I had recorded. It was so comforting when my brain would do that whole like, you weren't nice to her. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Because I'm like, no, you were nice to her. You did love her. She knew it because listen how you talk to her.
Good.
I feel like stuff like that is just so, like you said, recording and doing memorials and doing whatever you can to make yourself Even in the anticipatory grief, like kind of think of the future. Like, what do you want when you look back? What do you want? What do you want 9 million videos and pictures? Do it. Do you want to make jewelry out of ashes? Do it. If you want to take them around with you all the time, do it. It's like your own personal thing. Like I'm not religious. I've talked about this on the podcast before. I'm not a religious person, but the way that I look at it is it's like it's your own relationship that you have with, kind of like how you would have one with God. It's your own relationship with your companion animal. Like, so nobody can judge you on your relationship. Nobody can judge you on how you want to continue that relationship, whether you have the ashes every single day, to and from work, or you sleep with the ashes every day, or you sleep with their collar or smell their favorite toy, whatever you gotta do. It's whatever you wanna do. It's your own
And
relationship.
I think it's perfectly fine to talk to your pet after they've passed, as if they were there, because it's something we do anyway. I know people don't want to admit that, but we all talk to our pets. Like, you have that recording. I found recordings that I didn't realize I was really talking to, Wolfgang or Peachy when I was recording, but I'm always saying things like, oh, you're such a cutie, and things like that. That, yeah, I hear myself and I hear the love. And to talk to them as if they were there. And I've heard other people say this to do with humans that have passed. Just have a conversation. It's not, it's, we need to be kinder to ourselves and be more accepting of what is going to help us get on with our lives and heal. And do you need to go and tell everyone at work that you talked to your past pet? Yeah, probably not a good idea. But I'm giving you permission to do it. And I think it's really
See,
healthy.
that's funny because I don't give a shit. I will tell everybody. I don't care. I will tell everybody. Yeah, I go home and I talk to them. What?
Think of somebody that maybe is like an attorney
Yeah,
or maybe a circuit court judge.
right.
Probably don't want to go in and tell all your staff. So, how's everyone doing today? You ready for all these, hearings? Yeah, I talked to my pet this morning. Be judicial about who you share those things with. It definitely doesn't have to be a secret, but it doesn't have to be broadcasted either. But I was on a plane with a couple, and we were talking, and they have a senior pet, and the woman was really wanting to get the pet taxidermied,
Oh, yeah.
and the husband was like, "Oh man, that's so weird. I can't even imagine that." And I said, "Well, look, is there a compromise? Like, could you do it, but ha not have it like maybe on the dining room table? Could you have, his name was Lucky. Could you have Lucky like, somewhere private, maybe, where not everyone has to see him?" And so
Right.
he kind of started to open up around the idea, but again, back to whatever's going to work, whatever is going to make us feel,
Do whatever.
do whatever. And it's funny that I bring that up because I wanted to have Wolfgang taxidermied, or I think I brought it up like if anything ever happens to him or when it's his time, because I thought he was going to live a long time, right?
Right.
I want to get him taxidermied and have him out. And my husband was like, "Yeah, hell no." And so, but we didn't even get to like bring that up because he died so suddenly, and I was just didn't know what to do. But it's funny that I think do I don't know that I want to do that with any of my current pets, but I think there's compromises. I think there's a way to do something that can work,
Yeah.
and that's a little different. I've actually never been to someone's house and seen like a taxidermy dog. That doesn't mean that people don't do it. They just don't keep it in their living room next to the Christmas tree when
Yeah.
they have company over. Maybe they do and they put it away when company comes over.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. I do you. Like, I am full force for who, whatever you gotta do you.
I know this is out there, but it's like I just want to go out on a limb for the people that really want to do that and say,
Yeah.
go for it,
Because, like,
and
here's how
be.
I think about it, though. Like, not the just like my brain started freaking out just when you said that. Is like, The way I always think about companion animal is the same as humans. Like, right? I always compare the two as the same. Like, could you imagine going over to somebody's house and grandma is sitting on the freaking couch, like
Oh, jeez.
taxidermied?
No, that's scary. Yeah, okay. I mean,
Where I go with it, like you go over and grandma sitting at the kitchen
oh
table,
man.
like whoa.
Is that
No,
even legal? Is that even legal
probably
though?
not, probably not.
Probably
Doesn't
not.
mean
Only
that
in
people
Florida.
probably do it. All right.
Only in Florida, where I'm from, so I'm allowed to say that. But like headlines, right? There's a podcast called Florida Man. Did you know that? But there's this ongoing joke that if you look at any newspaper in Florida, right, doesn't matter where it is, there's a headline that starts with Florida man did this stupid ass thing, or Florida man broke into SeaWorld and decided to swim with Shamu, and guess what? He didn't make it. So anyway, sorry, Florida. Love you. Love you for being weird. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that, made it to the headline news
Yeah.
in
Yeah, that's that would
Ocala,
be
Florida.
yeah, that would be interesting for sure. Like you know, 'cause like I said, I always try to compare like the same, you know, humans to animals. That's just how my brain works. And so
Yeah.
then I think about it where I'm like, if we did that to like a dog, would we do that with a human? Probably not. Like, can you just imagine?
I think just because the laws are different, I bet if it was
Yeah.
allowed, people would do it.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But
I've
I'm
been
pretty.
seeing like funerals. Like, I love Instagram because they have like crazy stuff. But I've been seeing these funerals of like other countries' funerals, or maybe even in America, there's people that do this where they will like, I don't want to say taxidermy the people, but they'll like pose them. So they'll be like sitting in a car or like standing up at their funeral, like hanging out. Like they will hang out like during their
Okay.
funeral. Like it's not a casket thing. Like they're not in a casket. They're literally chilling, like
Okay.
sitting on a bed or like in
Like
a
Weekend with
car.
Bernie. Do you know
Kind
that
of.
movie Weekend with
Yes.
Bernie?
Yeah,
Where
kind of.
he's just like doing
Yeah.
everything he would normally do, but
Yeah.
he's beyond. Yeah,
Yeah.
he's dead.
Yeah. That's a yeah. Yeah. It's
I
interesting.
haven't, no.
Yeah, you'll have to look it up. Guys, look it up on Google. Like Google it. You'll see some so there's ones that are like I said, they're like in like three-piece suits standing like leaning on something and everybody just like walks by and like either gives them money or like whatever and then like I don't know. I think maybe because different cultures look at death very differently than the United
Yeah.
States. And I think to
Yeah.
them, it's just, it's like, it's another step in the process, you know? Like death is just another step into the process of life or like, you know, being around or whatever. And so to them, it's not so like gut-wrenching when somebody dies. It's just like they're moving on to the next step or whatever. So they just kind of have the homeboys hang
I'd
out
be
and
into
it's, yeah.
that.
Yeah,
I'm up
too.
for that.
Yeah, me too.
I would want to be warned. Going to a memorial that, grandpa is going to be smoking a pipe on that bench up front in his, in his bathing suit, so that I don't have a heart attack and think that he's not dead or something. But I think, yeah, being prepared for it and just saying like, this is not only an open casket, it's just a totally new thing. Yeah. I'd still go.
I think we need to get used to like death more. I think we need to like as a society, we need to grow more about death and know that it's like everybody's gonna experience it. Everybody is gonna die at some point in their life. Everything is gonna die and
Everything, yeah.
make sure that you kind of just 'cause if you look at it like me growing up, man, open caskets freaked me out. Like freaked
Right.
me out. I didn't want to see
Right.
anybody dead. Like the minute they die, don't I know. I don't want to I want them talking in my head. You know what I mean? Like I want to see them the last time I saw them talking and
Right.
walking and moving, not, you know, laying in a casket. So it used to freak me out and now I'm more open to like, well, it's a natural thing and everybody has to deal with it. Like it's not you know, an inclusive thing. It's
Why are we so scared?
I don't
Like just you talking about that, I think I was holding my breath a little bit, going,
know.
what am I going to do with my parents? I don't even know. And
And here I am holding my breath. But yeah, like you said, in other cultures, they don't have this fear that Americans have. They don't have this, like, shh, can't say that, can't talk about it, can't think about it, attitude. And how do you change that? I don't know. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. So I'm just going to stick with pets to start my little journey there and stay in this lane.
Yeah. It's a mortality thing, I think. I think it just scares everybody. Because even companion animals, it scares me when you think about it. You know, when you really, because it could be like anytime I hear somebody else say, oh, so-and-so passed away, even if it's a companion animal, it takes me to my, like, it gives me that, like that, like, oh, man, like, I know what they're going through. And it makes you think of the ones you have now. Like, I do that all the time where I think about the companion animals I have now. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's going to be a time they're not going to be here. What the hell am I going to do? And it's, you know, honestly, you just got to tell yourself, like, the same thing I did before where I just got to, it's part of life. It's a part of life. Mm-hmm. I think that, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I think one of the biggest things that actually got me through when Kaya passed away was my mom said this to me, and it can be, I mean, it sounds a little heartless, and but it's so very true, and that's everything dies. So right now you're destroyed and you're very upset and you're having a very hard time, but everything dies. Everything does. And it made me like rethink, it may not be helpful for other people, but it made me rethink, like, okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. This isn't happening to me.
To me. Mm-hmm.
It's happening because it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What I was going to say is I was reminded, so when I got clean and sober, I was working at the World Peace Cafe. Well, I was volunteering there just to kind of recalibrate my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's run by Kadampa tradition Buddhists. And it was a beautiful experience. And I remember this one day I went in and I was like in the back and Sky Cameron had this huge skeleton picture next to the computer. And I was like, Cameron, what's up? What's this about? And he's like, well, it's just, you know, a reminder that we're all going to go. And I was like, dude, that's heavy. And he's like, yeah, but it's true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said, I think it was him that said, death is certain. The time of death is uncertain. So what is important? And that, like, boom, that just really got my attention that, oh, yeah, we really need to clock in and make the most, you know, not that I'm going off on like a total tangent here, but, you know, really when you do think about death, it really shifts how you think about your day to day and what you're doing with your life.
Yes.
And, you know, if you ever walk around, you know, there's cemeteries everywhere here in Europe, but like, if you ever passing a cemetery, you know, somebody said to me once, like, imagine if that person could live one more day, what would they do? Mm-hmm. They would probably go and tell everyone they loved them. They'd probably go and forgive other people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wouldn't it be beautiful if we could all like live like that instead of getting caught up in like Instagram followers and petty things, you know? And it's funny because it takes like conversations like this to be reminded that I have that knowledge. And I can choose to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And even losing Wolfgang, I felt like I viewed things differently. It changed me and it made things really clear as to what's important and what's not. Mm-hmm. And I was paying attention to a lot of things that aren't important. So in a way, I think it can be really good. It can be a real positive change.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I'm a completely different person than I was before all of this. And I'm better. I'm a better person. I am very like intentional. I try very hard to live with intention. And every time something happens, I try to, you know, really think it out. And then like, I never like, you know, there's people in life that you're not going to vibe with, you know, not going to click with. And maybe you know, you don't get along with them. But at the end of the day, I never want to look back and go, wow, I was a real dick to that person. Or wow, I didn't let them know how I felt. Like, you know, my papa, he passed away a couple years ago and I was extremely close with him. And the last year of his life, man, He probably hated me for this, but I was like, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Like all the time, I would tell him anything that came to my mind, anything that we needed to talk about, we talked about it because I didn't want to look back and go, I should have said, I should have acted, I should have bought, I should have, you know, shown. I didn't ever want to do that. And that situation has made me do that in life with everybody. I don't want ever to look back, sure, even if it's sudden, to look back and go, I should have said, I should have did, I should have, you know, because it just, then it just sucks. And it just sucks your energy and sucks everything out of you. And so, yeah, I always try to live with intention now. I try to be very intentional with how I am towards people, animals, all of that. Because like you were saying, like, you know, if That's they...
beautiful.
If they could go back, you know, I'm sure there's a lot they'd like to say and do and all of that. And not doing it is not going to help anybody, you know. It's awkward.
Yeah, we, it's, but, I'm remembering, you know, you said, so in the beginning of the show, you were like, you know, I like helping people and I like doing these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all have that little voice that says like, you know, kind of the critical voice. Mm-hmm. And you said you even had it when you were thinking about things that you maybe you were mean to Athena or this or that. And we all do that too. But I think what you just touched on was if we're intentional about how we treat the people and animals in our life now, there'll be less of that chatter later, right? If we could 100%. All just try every day to just be a little kinder. Mm-hmm. We're actually helping ourselves too.
100%.
Right. It's not only about just doing it to make the world, make other people feel okay, but it's like, well, wait, we're going to have to live with this. We're going to have those memories too. Shouldn't we all try to have a little bit better time with our inner dialogue?
Mm-hmm. 100%. It always is so helpful. Like when my papa passed away, I miss him. But I don't have that same, I don't feel the same way I do about other situations because with him, I like beat it down. I was like,
what?
I beat it down. Like, just, I love you. Like, just so much. Like, and you know what? Like I said, I think I annoyed him from being so like, like,
that's
I
awesome.
Want you to know, you know, but when That's he passed, awesome. It was like, I, like, there was no questioning. I yeah. knew he knew. I knew he knew.
Yeah.
I knew he knew how beautiful. I felt. So yeah, no, I think, and that's, we can add that to our companion animals as well. Like live every day with intention with them. Cause you never know Athena was 7 months old. You know what I mean? You never know. They could age and get sick or they could be young and,
yep.
Just live every day with intention and make sure that you're living your best life so that the grief journey is just,
yes,
it's not like another thing you have to add on to the grief journey of, oh God, I wasn't nice to them or I didn't give them, you know, like we do surf and turf Sundays at our house because this is like, I started that when Apollo got sick and I'm never going to change it because I want to look back and go, I did that. I did surf and turf Sundays with my dogs because I loved them that much and they wow. knew it, you know, type
Man,
of thing.
I want to yeah. come back as a dog and live with you. That's awesome.
Well, let's be real here. The surf is not, it's just sardines. So it's not like they're getting
okay, no, I don't like sardines.
Or
nope.
anything like that. But we do like,
that's
you know,
still really fun though.
Yeah. And
but look at how much... Look at how much planning and love goes into, you know, yeah. the way you treat your dogs and how we've all changed the way that we treat yes. our animals. Just in the past couple of decades, we went from, yeah, them living outside mm-hmm. to, no, you're coming, you have a seat at the table. And by the way, here's a birthday cake because yeah. I think today might be your birthday. I don't really know, but we're just yeah. going to call it today.
Yeah. Like,
that's a real shift,
yeah.
real big shift.
Yeah. Do you feel like you treat your cats now different than before?
Definitely.
Wolfgang, like
definitely.
You feel...
Yeah. So here's the thing. I don't think I, it, talk about it so much, but Wolfgang was, he was adopted because we lost a cat right before we moved to Germany. And I said, okay, we got to get another one. Cause we already had Peachy. We wanted him to have a companion too. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, we got him and I would, you know, I would like whisper to him like, all right, buddy, we're going to make a pact. Like, I need you to live a really long time because we lost Michi suddenly. And, you know, I promise, I know we're in an apartment now, but I'm going to let you live somewhere where you can be outside. And like, I would just have all these little, like, cute, mm-hmm. sweet, little loving conversations. And then one day he was gone. Mm-hmm. It was a year, just over a year old. And I was like, no, universe. We had a pact. We had a deal. Mm-hmm. Like, we had this thing. And boy, was the rug really ripped out. And so that's why I don't want anyone to be in fear of that, but there are no guarantees. There mm-hmm. just aren't. You could try to make pacts with the universe, but it doesn't work mm-hmm. clearly. And to just have some resources on hand, just to know a few things, like just go there for 5 minutes with your family. And like, do you want to have a burial or do you want to have cremation? Do you want the, mm-hmm. do you want the ashes back? Just answer some basic things so you don't regret it. Cause in the moment, I didn't think he was going to die. To be honest, we were on our way to the vet and I kept telling to my friend, like, well, if he's still alive now, he's probably going to make it, right? Like, this is good.
Yeah.
I was trying to be really hopeful. And, you know, he died right when we got in and they couldn't resuscitate him. So here I am thinking like, wait, no, you were supposed to live forever or yeah. like 20 years. Okay. Now they're telling me you're dead and they're asking me what to do with your body.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I make that decision when I can't even process what just happened? Mm-hmm. So to have just some basic things answered will help so much. Cause I wish I had him cremated and I wish he was here, or I wish he was taxidermied. You know, I wish I had his nose print, his paw print, mm-hmm. some fur, anything. I have nothing. I have nothing but the memories in my heart.
Yep.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm at peace with that. But knowing that now and knowing that there are no guarantees, not only do I tell my current cats, like, you're awesome, you're perfect, I love you. Mm-hmm. But, I do have plans for them to be cremated and to come back. Do I have the urn picked out? No, I'll find something. There'll be so many cool urns by that day. Like, that's okay. I don't need that. I don't need to buy it now.
Yeah.
But it has made me shift the way that I look at life in general. There are no guarantees. I'm grateful to be here today. And I think so having loss of any kind can really shift us in the way we live the rest of our lives.
Yes.
Am I perfect every day? No. Do I have days where I forget and I take them for granted? Yeah. But most days I really treasure having them.
Yep. I always have, there's two posts. One I've posted, one I have not posted, but I've seen other, like, Ladybug. Have you seen her page?
Oh, Jess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ladybug art.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She had posted something about this actually a couple days ago. And there's two things that I always remind myself. One is, you'll never look back and say you spent too much time with your companion animal. You'll never look back and go, I spent too much time with them. Ever. Ever. So do you. Spend as much time as you can. And the second that Ladybug Art had posted, and I agree with, is it's what a beautiful thing to love somebody that's been through grief, because you know that person has known love and has felt love and gave the unconditional love and received it. It's just a beautiful thing to even know somebody that's been through a grief journey. And I think that's mm-hmm. beautiful, because it's true. You are a completely different person when you go through grief than you do when you before it. And mm-hmm. you are more intentional and you do look at things very differently. And you love on a different level. And mm-hmm. so I think it's almost like a superpower. It's shitty. Don't get me wrong, guys. I know it's shitty. It's a shitty mm-hmm. superpower. I mean, it's nice for a superpower. Shitty to have to go through. It's a shitty superpower, but it's a shitty thing to have to go through. But what a cool superpower to have, to say, yeah, I loved this being so unconditional and so much. And I am trying to get to the other side of it. And I just I'm a good person, and I am here to, you know, live a good life and be intentional with everything, and, you know, really look at it in that perspective. So
as best we can, right?
Yeah.
We're not saints.
No.
We do the best we can.
No.
And yet I agree. Is it the Winnie the Pooh quote that says, "How lucky am I to have loved something so much?" I'm paraphrasing here because I've already gone off the rails, that I can grieve over it. Or like, how lucky am I to have loved something so that making goodbye is so hard.
Yeah.
That was closer.
No, you're good.
And it's true. It's true. And then there's that old saying, like, it's better to love and lost than to never have loved at all, which I don't love that one, but the meaning behind it is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All of those sayings, they're so true. And we need to remind ourselves that every day. So I want to ask you, I think I asked you this last time and you were like, what the hell, Kayla? Why did you ask
curveball. That's right. You do some curveballs at the end. I don't remember
I do.
What it was
okay.
last time.
And it's,
I was like, do I like bananas? I don't know.
No. I'm going to ask you the same thing that I asked you last time. What's your favorite? What's your favorite card out of your deck?
Oh,
your favorite card?
Well, gosh, the one that just popped in my head is I'm not happy with. But I have to say that I think it's okay. Wait. No, I know which one it is. I can imagine my pet with me anytime, anywhere. I use my mind's eye to see them. No, that's wrong. Sorry, that's a different card. So the back, so there's a front and a back. Okay, I've got the imagine with you by my side. And I can imagine my pet with me anywhere, anytime, doing things that they could never do while they were on planet Earth. And so that helps me see still today that no matter where I am, I can imagine Wolfgang next to me. I can imagine him. So when I meditate, he's human size. I don't know why, but when I think of him and I'm like in a really calm state, he's human size and he's got his paw on my shoulder. Like, I got you. And so like, I love thinking that I can pull upon that anytime. So that card encourages people to, yeah, use your imagination when you're driving to work, when you're on the bus, when you're doing reps at the gym, imagine your pet with you doing it too. And how funny is that? And I think most people can do it. And then they smile because they're like, oh yeah, we'd be competing, or he would just be sitting there watching me because he doesn't want to work out. Like, there's always a story there. Like, if let's do it. Can you do it? Will you do it with me?
Yeah.
Like, when you think of Athena and you're, you know, driving to the grocery store, what would she be doing? Where would she be? Would she be in the back? Should she be in the front? Would she be on the dashboard? Would she be on the hood?
You know, I did this. I did the same thing, and it actually helped me out a lot. And what I would imagine, because of what happened to her, she couldn't walk. I imagined her running next to the car, like in the field.
Wow.
You know, just
running.
You know, just like running full force,
like cheetah
speed.
Living
her best life. Yeah, like living her best life.
Wow.
Just running,
because
she was a puppy. You know, she wanted to be crazy, and she couldn't. So just letting her just run. And I always imagine her older, because she never got to full size. You know, she never got to what she would have looked like as an adult dog. So I always imagine what she looked like beautiful and long hair and all of that running. So yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's what I always do.
I love it. But see, and you're smiling now, and I'm smiling thinking about it. And that's what I want everyone to be able to do. Ultimately, my mom said that's why we called it Wolfie's Wish, is because we want people to have joy in their life again. Mm-hmm. We want them to be okay and to learn to live with the loss. And, you know, the more I like asking people also, like, you know, what's your favorite memory of your pet?
Mm-hmm.
And they always smile, inevitably smile, because they know right away what it is. And that's what I want people to be able to do when they think of their pet. It's like, what did I love about them? What was awesome?
Yep. That's what I always say to people. Tell me your best memory, your fondest memory, or like your favorite thing. What was your favorite thing about them? You know, like their feet.
It's not hard.
Or you know, the way they smelled or whatever, you know. whatever it is. So awesome. Well, I am so glad that you came on the show, and we'll have to check back in with you in another year. I know you mentioned it before we started recording, but you said Oprah hasn't reached out to you yet, which
not yet, not yet. But I, funny thing is, so I'm two people, like two people removed from her. That's how close.
Ooh.
That's how close things got just recently. And I don't force things, right?
Yeah.
But there's also somebody told me about like a press event, and her people will be there. You never know.
Yeah.
It's a fun goal, right? Because it's like you gotta aim high. What is it? Shoot for the stars, you'll land on the moon.
Yeah.
You'll be alienated and alone on the moon, but at least you're closer to your
right.
goal. Yeah, so no, I haven't heard from her, but I was on ABC 7 News in the Bay Area, so that was exciting. You know, I've got a bunch of more products up my sleeve, so my time will come if it's meant to be. But it really, the whole point about that is just to spread the validity of pet loss, mm-hmm. you know, and having someone like that talk about it
mm-hmm.
goes way farther than I ever will.
Yeah.
So that's what it's really about. It's not about me.
Right.
She could interview anybody on the subject. I would be thrilled.
Right. Yeah. That would be cool. That would be really cool if we could get that more like a mainstream, because they go through too. I mean, she loves her.
Yep.
Dogs. She loves her dogs. Like,
yep.
Like we love our animals. So I feel like, yep. Anybody in that position. I always used to think about like the Queen of England, because you know how she had corgis and she loved her dogs so much. I always think about like she could have just said something.
I know, right? But she's not allowed. Like she's so,
yeah,
they're so private.
True. Yeah,
they're so private. True. But I also think about how, you know, she's got people around her that tell her. I don't know. They're always so polite. Are they really genuine? And yet our pets don't know how to pretend to be anything
right.
other than what they are.
Right.
They never, like, we have people around us that tell us what we want to hear,
mm-hmm.
For better or for worse. And yet our animals, they're like, they either like you or they don't, you
yeah.
know, and I love that about them. They either like, yeah, like, most dogs and babies like me. So I know I'm not a really bad person,
mm-hmm.
but, yeah. Pets have a special relationship, especially I think for celebrities. Beth Bigler talked about that, because she does celebrity pet counseling or pet bereavement,
mm-hmm.
and how that their animals are the kind of the one thing they can count on.
Yeah.
It's not going to just flatter them or manipulate them.
Mm-hmm. Like they're in it to just love them.
Yeah.
Like it's the only reason why they're being is like they just love their owner or their parent, and it's very like it's a very like basic relationship that's like beautiful.
Yeah, famous or not,
right?
Your pet is pure joy and pure love.
Yeah,
whether you got the lead role or not,
right?
Whether you got the $1 million or not,
right?
They just love us. You.
Yep. Well, that's why they're great, and that's why losing them is like the worst thing ever. So. All
but
right.
It is
yeah.
Worth it.
Oh, it's so worth it. And I'll do it over and over and over and over again. And it'll hurt me every single time. But also, I feel like it's my obligation to show them the love that they deserve. So. All right. Well, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Where can people find you?
My pleasure. Well, I would love to invite anybody that's wanting some support to join our Facebook group, Wolfie's Wish Pet Loss Support Group, or go to wolfieswish.com, and we've got a lot of free downloads.
Cool.
You can try out some of our products. You can also sign up for our virtual support group, but I really encourage people to get on the mailing list, because I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm working on some stuff right now that's coming out soon. And so the mailing list people hear about it first. And I think this year is going to be really exciting.
Awesome. We'll check back in with you in a year and see what other
okay.
new things you have
you.
And everything that's
wow.
going on.
Well, we'll see how much I can manifest between now and then.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm trying real hard too. That's what I wrote a whole thing down, like, let's manifest this year. Because last year was a wash. Yeah,
Was it?
I mean, like, not in life, or well, like, not with the podcast, but like in life, where it was just I would manifest something and then like 9 million things would come up, and then, you know. No, actually, a lot of things good happened last year, but it was just a lot to handle mental health wise.
Okay. Okay.
We're
Well,
there.
and I don't want to give away any of the things you talked about, but you've got some things that are coming up too, and I think it'll be an exciting year. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this year's gonna be a good year. We're gonna have a good year. We're gonna force it. So, all right. Well, thanks for listening. And as usual, you can find us rainbowbridgeconnectionpodcast.com, rainbowbridgeconnectionpodcast@gmail.com. And then you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, Rainbow Bridge Connection Podcast. Thanks, guys, for listening. And we will talk to you later.